The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
This is Senior Solutions with Eric Stewart on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to the Senior Solutions Real Estate Show, brought to you by the Senior Solutions team at the Eric Stewart Group. Hey, if you've missed our shows previously and would like and enjoy the conversation that I bring you, I'd like for you to listen to the show when it's convenient for you, not necessarily only here at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. So to do that, you can download an app on your smartphone. You might have an Apple phone or an Android or whatever kind of phone. If you have an app store, you can download Spotify. Spotify is a company that serves a subscription for music. Most often, that's where it's thought of, as a music subscription service where you pay $5 to $10 a month to be able to listen to any music you want. But they do offer a free service to listen to podcasts, and you can search for Eric Stewart Show and listen to Pointing You Home or Senior Solutions shows there.
Lord, I was born a rambling man.
I have a rambler. Actually, I've got several ramblers that I've listed in Maryland and D.C. and in Virginia. These are single-family homes that offer one-level living and a wonderful change if you're looking to downsize from a large colonial but want to have the convenience of being in a single-family home with one-level living, a basement for additional storage if you need to have that additional space. In some cases, two-car garages. In some cases, just a carport or just a driveway. These ramblers offer a nice transition. And if you are in that phase of life, you're thinking, I want to make a downsize, but I don't really know where to start, but I'd like to see what else is out there, not just in a condo, but maybe in the independence of a single family home still, because I still like to cut grass, things like that. Well, I'd like you to reach out to us. Give us a call at 800-900-9104. That's toll free. And ask for one of our buyer agents, and we'll go through our existing supply of ramblers that we have listed. We can also bring you through other real estate agents' ramblers, too. Getting ready to downsize or get your house ready for sale, we have two specific guides for that. The Market Ready Guide, which will give you 10 excellent questions to ask real estate agents. You know, we are real estate agents, of course, but I've created a consumer-oriented package called the Market Ready Guide to help you understand how to approach the process of selling and interviewing realtors, knowing what will make you money. We have statistics on what will make you money, what won't make you money. I get calls, should I replace my windows before I sell my house? It's going to cost me $20,000. I would tell you no. Historically, there's only a few exceptions where it makes sense to do windows. In the Market Ready Guide, I give that kind of information so you can know whether you should be putting money in a certain direction as you're getting ready. And maybe you're still 2, 3, 4, 5 years away from selling. The Market Ready Guide will be helpful. And it's free. Either published, printed, and delivered free, no postage, or emailed to you. EricStewartGroup.com. You can request a copy there. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message at 800-900-9104. Again, 800-900-9104. The Right Sizing Guide is all about how to downsize. So if you got a lot of stuff like I do with 5 kids, I am constantly purging, and it seems like I never get ahead of it. Can you relate? I thought so. So the process of actually going through a right sizing to stay in your home and age in place or to make a move is a tough one unless you have some tidbits and advice, and that's what I've tried to put together over 15 years here on the show and with all of the hundreds and hundreds of downsizers that we've worked with. We've gotten a lot of great ideas together in the Right Sizing Guide, and we just want to help you. We just want to provide that to you at no cost. So it's called the Right Sizing Guide. You can also download that at EricStewartGroup.com or call us and leave a message, and we'll mail you a copy of that as well. It's 800-900-9104. And lest I forget, if you're thinking about buying, we do have a Buyer Savvy Guide. Really great information about how to approach the buy side if you're thinking about buying and selling. Request a copy of that too. Speaking of decluttering, we all have, probably most of us have heard of Marie Kondo. She's made a lot of headlines. So I want to just cover 4 benefits for decluttering and downsizing. These are 4 benefits that I've seen across the board among all my downsizers. Number 1, there's a lower risk for experiencing a fall when you have less stuff encumbering your property because you have less stuff to back up into. You know what it's like. You walk into a space, all of a sudden your mind says, no, 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 you need to go the other way because you were going to stop at such and such a place. And so you turn around only to find there's somebody right behind you, and all of a sudden you've bumped into somebody. Our stuff can be kind of like that. We can walk into a space, and if there's too much of it, we have a very limited path. It's kind of like being like a ram on the side of a hillside. You have to keep your feet in certain spots so that you don't fall down the mountain. It kind of is the same way when our house gets too cluttered. So by clearing it up, you've got a little more margin for where you walk. It also reduces anxiety and stress that we oftentimes have. It will improve your relaxation, the quality of your sleep. And lastly, you reduce the dust and the allergens in your home. Now, that goes back to something I said in the last show about the quality of the air inside your property. If you didn't hear that segment about how much air you breathe on a daily basis and how important ventilation is, go back and listen to the Pointing Your Home show from this morning. You can do so on Spotify. I think it'll be posted tomorrow. So tame that clutter, folks. There's the lesson. How often do you think you need to have a wellness checkup if you're a healthy senior? How often do you see a doctor? You know, it's a question that's often asked, especially by those who suffer from the white coat syndrome. You know what I'm saying? We don't like to see doctors because we know that that's going to either mean we have something to take care of or we're going to be near other people who are sick and we're going to get sick because of it. Now, experts have said there's really no hard and fast rule on how often you should see a doctor, but yearly physical visits are an imperative. It's really important that you do check. And if you've got, obviously, if you've got issues, you need to see doctors regularly for those issues. I've just gone through facing the limitations of my age. Now that I'm in my mid-50s, I've had a challenge with one of my shoulders. Last summer, I was climbing Mount Rainier, and I fell on my shoulder. Now, it wasn't just that. It had been irritated before that, but I've gone through some struggles with my shoulder. And I've gone through getting, you know, I got an MRI, got another MRI, then I got an arthrogram because it still was inconclusive and I was having trouble sleeping at night. So I went through a battery of tests. I got a cortisone shot. Well, guess what I realized? I realized after I went to a third orthopedic surgeon that the problem wasn't my shoulder. It's my neck. So I ended up getting a shot in my neck and man, I feel like $100 million now. I had to figure out my problem. Figuring out your problems are normal when you have a problem. But when you're a healthy senior and nothing's going wrong, how often should you get things checked on? Well, you should get a colonoscopy every 5 years as a minimum. You should get a mammogram if you're a woman every, you know, so often. I don't know exactly how often that is. You should definitely go and take advantage of the Medicare wellness visit that you get as a part of Medicare Part B. Okay, you're entitled to that visit. That yearly appointment with your physician is designed to identify health risks and intervene early, so take advantage of that. If you're like me in the old days, I used to get the postcard in the mail from the dentist to remind me it's time to get your teeth cleaned. Now I just put it in my phone. It's time to schedule your annual physical. I do my annual physical. I schedule it typically 6 months in advance because that's how long it takes to see the doc oftentimes. So I'm scheduling 6 months before I see the doctor, and 6 months later, I'm scheduling again for the next one. You might be able to retire earlier than you think. I don't know if you've read this article. It came out of Forbes magazine by Ty Bernicke, and I just thought there was some value. Ty is a president and senior wealth manager at Bernicke Wealth Management. Much of the research done on how much money can safely be withdrawn from retirement nest eggs focuses on an initial amount that is withdrawn in the first year of retirement, then assumes that this initial amount is increased by an inflationary factor every year after. So there's a rule called Bengen's rule. Have you heard this? It's a widely accepted study that William Bengen did in 1994, and he suggested that with a portfolio consisting of half large company stocks and half intermediate-term U.S. Treasury bonds, the maximum starting rate that one could safely withdraw was about 4% each year. Now, to arrive at that figure, he assumed that every year the amount withdrawn would increase by an inflation factor that, based on historical investment returns of the investment classes mentioned, a portfolio could withstand the type of withdrawal of 4% per year because it would grow by more than that every year. So now that's being challenged. Some have argued that 4% is too high. Some have said that it's too low. If you believe that your later years in retirement will be met by reduced spending needs, similar to many people that I've met, you might be able to retire earlier than what's implied by Bengen's rule. Figure it out with your financial advisor. Ah, well, look who it is. It's Stuart Rosenthal. What do you got for us?
One of our health shorts this month in the June issue of The Beacon talks about daily aspirin. You know, a lot of us have been told for many years, take a low-dose aspirin every day. It's really good for cardiovascular health. Even if you don't have heart conditions, you know, it's good to be safe. It thins your blood. Nowadays, they don't believe that's true anymore. I wanted to make sure people were aware. There have been a review of 11 studies over the last few years, all of which seem to agree that not only does it not extend life for people who don't have cardiovascular illness, but low-dose aspirin increases your risk of major bleeding by about 50%.
No kidding.
And when we say major bleeding, we mean like something that requires hospitalization or surgery or transfusion. It's pretty serious. So talk to your doctor, but generally speaking, if you're just doing it because you think you should and you haven't been told you need to, I would cut it out.
Okay. Read all about it. It's like chocolate, right? It's like coffee. It's like wine. It's like the story changes.
It does.
Well, but read all about
it
in The Beacon.
But chocolate you can still
eat. Oh, and that's right. And you can eat it every day. Did you read the story recently about the couple? He's 100. She's 103. I think I got that right. And the secret to their longevity and their happy marriage? A Hershey's chocolate bar every day.
Oh, wow.
For like 60 or 70 years.
That's a great prescription. I'll try it right now.
I know. Yep. Dark chocolate. All right. Thank you, Stuart. Read all about it in the Beacon Newspapers at thebeaconnewspapers.com. Hey, scientists have been puzzled by patients with signs of dementia, but whose brains don't show the aberrant proteins that are typical of Alzheimer's. Let's chat about that in just a moment.
Now, back to Senior Solutions on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Big house, big car, backseat, full bar. Houseboat won't float, the bank won't tote enough. Too much stuff.
Alzheimer's disease is a specific type of dementia. And scientists are puzzled by patients that show signs of dementia, but whose brains don't show those aberrant problems that are typical biomarkers of Alzheimer's disease. And now, researchers are saying that they have an explanation. It's a newly defined neurodegenerative disease whose symptoms are similar to Alzheimer's, but is actually caused by a different misbehaving protein. And this disease is called LATE, L-A-T-E, and it seems to develop more slowly than Alzheimer's to appear later in life when people are in their 80s and 90s. And there's an international team of researchers reporting that in the journal Brain, this is actually the name of a journal, which is a journal for brain people. This brain journal, the brains of people who develop this disease don't contain the protein amyloid beta, which causes plaques to develop between the nerve cells, or what they call tau, T-A-U. It grows tangles that clog the interior of cells and eventually kills people. So this is a specific type of dementia similar to Alzheimer's, but different, and it's called LATE. LATE affects more than a million Americans. If you go to any nursing home, you're going to see evidence of it. And about 75% of people who get Alzheimer's disease, and some develop both Alzheimer's and LATE in combination, this will hasten the descent into dementia. So two separate dementias that actually attack the brains in different ways that further and steepen the descent into that dementia. So knowing which protein is affecting the brains of seniors is significant, since therapies being developed to treat Alzheimer's disease target are not going to be the same as those who are targeting LATE. So be aware of this. If you know someone who's facing Alzheimer's and they may not be aware, depending upon the Alzheimer's expert, the physician, they may not be aware of the differences between LATE and Alzheimer's. I've often considered retiring someplace outside of where I live now. I think we all have thought about that. But the idea of moving someplace outside of America retirement outside the United States, it's somewhat more appealing and less adventurous than it used to be. Here's why. The benefits are you're not managing your currency exposure. Many currencies fluctuate a lot against the dollar. And if you're earning money in dollars and spending it in a different currency, changes in currency values will matter a lot. And if you look at the history of currency fluctuations against the dollar, with some currencies you'll find changes of 20% or higher over a period of 1 to 2 years. Now, that can work in your favor if the value of the dollar increases against foreign currencies and you live outside of America. You're receiving your income through pensions or otherwise in American dollars and translating that into whatever currency of the country that you've moved into. So you want to decide how much of your income and nest egg to keep in dollars, okay? Remember, Social Security is going to be paid in dollars as well. Many countries are going to place restrictions on property purchases and long-term residences by foreign citizens. And on the other hand, some countries are encouraging U.S. retirees to move there. You still want to know what are the rules, want to know what the laws are for whether you will actually own property, lease property, or otherwise. Many real estate scams are perpetrated against U.S. retirees overseas, selling them property that they don't actually own. You have to be careful of that. That's not a reason to avoid considering this. It's just a reason for you to be careful as you make a purchase, that you do due diligence, that you bring counsel into the process. You definitely want to know the full story on medical care in whatever country you move to, as many countries subsidize medical care for their residents. And the cost of that care often is less expensive than the U.S., but the qualifications of the doctors also can vary. They can sometimes be as good. Doctors can be better, but they can also be worse. So you want to be aware of that and consider staying enrolled in Medicare and maintaining Medicare supplement and Part D prescription drug insurance. Because if you drop that coverage and you decide to move back to the U.S. later, the premiums will be much higher than they would have been. Okay, so be careful of that. You want to be careful that you don't have the wrong financial accounts. Most likely, you'll need a local account in the new country to pay regular living expenses, but it's usually best to keep most of your assets in U.S. accounts and transfer the money to your local account as you need it. Again, you've got good protections in American banks, and you want to be aware of that. As a U.S. citizen, you owe U.S. taxes on your worldwide income and have to file U.S. income tax returns regardless of where you live in the world. You might have heard about the exclusion for foreign income and housing, but that applies only to earned income from employment or a business. It does not apply to retirement income. Be sure your estate plan is up to date before you consider making a move. And just believing that it will always be less expensive is not necessarily the case. Remember, over the long term, the things that drew you to a foreign country could diminish as more U.S. retirees move there. In a few locales in foreign countries, an influx of U.S. retirees has increased the population and the demand for real estate and essential services. And the result is an increase in the cost of living in the area well above what it was when the influx started. Years ago, 10, 15 years ago, I remember hearing, buy in Costa Rica. Well, there have been a lot of Americans, a lot of foreigners who bought in Costa Rica. And so values have gone up, and they've gone up from where they were a very, very good value to where they're still a value, but not what they were. So essentially, you hear something, it sticks in your brain, things happen in between the time you hear it and the time you decide to execute, and you just want to be careful and know what those things are. So what are the three questions you should ask yourself when you're looking at any item and you're trying to figure out whether you should keep it or not? Now, think about it. My father had a pair of army boots that he wore when he was stationed in Germany and during the Korean War that he kept in the attic of our house. They were sitting at the very end of our attic space by themselves next to his wooden trunk that he had when he was in the army. And I just never really understood why they were down there, kind of like a forgotten soldier at the very end of the attic space for many, many years, till one day I went down, picked them up, and I smelled them.
Ew.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
Then I realized why my mother prohibited my father from keeping those boots anywhere down below the attic, because they stunk so bad. But why would my father keep those boots? Because in a moment's time, those boots, looking at them, smelling them, or whatever, he would be transported in time, in his mind, back to when he was serving in the Army. So the boots carried the memory, right? And so he kept the boots because he didn't want to lose the memory. But truly, if you ask yourself three questions about the boots in your life, whatever those boots might be, there are going to be some items you do not want to get rid of. That's fine. But ask yourself these three questions. Do I use this? Do I need this? Do I love this? Now, for my father's boots, he didn't need those boots anymore. He didn't use those boots anymore, but he loved those boots. And you probably have things like that in your life, which you need to get rid of, but you don't want to get rid of them because you don't want to lose the memory. So instead, take a picture with your smartphone or shoot a short video of the boots and tell the story. So you have the boots, the memory of the boots, but you don't keep the boots. Like my dad might have said, hey, this reminds me of walking my beat when I was carrying test tube. My dad was involved in testing the milk that was being produced in Germany that was then being shipped to Korea for the soldiers. And my dad ended up being a physician at Columbia Hospital for Women. So this is what he did. These were the boots that he wore. This was important. He could tell that story with a video of the boots. Now, he didn't need them. He didn't use them, but he loved them. You might have things that you need and you love, but you don't use. But you still need it because it's an important document. Maybe it's something that you received from your grandfather. It's an important document. You need it to relay something to your children. Who knows? Whatever that item might be, if you can get two yeses out of three, keep the item. If you only get one, think of taking a memory conversion step of shooting a video of the item, telling the story, and then transferring the video to the next generation. And if you have something like that, that you decide, I no longer need this, I don't want to give it away to a stranger, and I don't want to sell it, but I do want my children to have it, shoot the same video, because the video will be part of that baton that you pass on in the race of life to your children. That video then will be transferred when that baton is passed to the next generation and the next generation. And 200 years from now, when that piece of art or chair or whatever it might be is passed on to another generation, they'll have your short video and that item, and they'll know the whole rest of the story. These ideas and others are found in the Right Sizing Guide, which you can request for free online at ericstewartgroup.com, or give us a call today, 800-900-9104. And don't forget, if you're getting ready to sell or buy, think of the Eric Stewart Group and give us a chance to be interviewed. Well, that'll do it for us today. Thanks for joining me. I'm Eric Stewart, and I'll see you next week. You know you can hurt yourself fooling with too
much stuff. Are you over 50 or love someone who is? I'm Stuart Rosenthal, publisher of the Beacon Newspapers, and our paper's meant for you. Our free monthly is packed with well-written topical information, the latest health research, diet and fitness advice, stock market updates, financial planning tips, elder law topics, housing options, plus technology, travel, and arts features, all geared to the needs and interests of people over 50 and their families. The Beacon can be picked up at no charge from more than 1,500 locations throughout the D.C. metro area. Libraries, recreation centers, CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies, churches and synagogues, doctor's offices, and other places where older adults live and shop. And visit our newly updated website, thebeaconnewspapers.com, for even more stories than fit in our printed publication, and to use our new Silver Pages, a searchable database of regional housing, home care, financial planning, and legal services. For more information about The Beacon, including how to advertise your business or event, either in print or online, call 301-949-9766. That's 301-949-9766, or send us a message at thebeaconnewspapers.com.